Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going...
No, do it! You just pause!
Last time and now you're doing it again. Is this going to become a thing?
No, go.
Fine. We are going to be doing Season 2, Episode 5 of Ted Lasso called Rainbow.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to be cursing. We're going to be doing spoilers for Season 2. Because there's only season two, and we are hoping there's going to be season three coming out soon.
It will.
All right, it should have been sooner than now, I thought. But whatever, and I am killing off the last of the Prosecco I had from the last episode, so there we go.
And I'm having a non-alcoholic sangria.
But not drinking it out of the bottle anymore, because...
Not anymore. I put it in the cup with... Yeah.
So this episode is called Rainbow. Mm-hmm. And it starts out with a discussion of why it's called Rainbow. It's almost like right off the bat, but it gets to that very quickly. But the very first thing in this episode is Nate does that Far Side School for the Gifted thing where he pushes on the pool door.
Oh, he does, yeah. Oh,
yeah, and he can't get in the door of this restaurant. This is his parents' favorite restaurant, but he goes to the desk and he wants to make a reservation for his parents for their anniversary. And this woman at the desk is totally fucking obnoxious to him. She's terrible.
Well, I think the thing is, like, first of all, he's asking for the window table, which is very important to him. But she's not really very responsive to him. And she goes to talk to her manager on whether or not she can even give him the window table. And which I don't even know why this is a discussion, but fine. And then you see on the television, Nate sees Roy talking, defending Isaac as the team captain and Ted. And I think one of the other pundits says something along the lines of, they're lacking direction like a woman driver or something like that. And then
yes.
Roy says something along the lines of, didn't you get a DUI or something? It's like, oh, I was not, it was because of an allergic reaction to my medication. He's like, is that the same medication that makes you piss your pants?
Yeah, yeah, it is so brilliant. And you know, Nate's like laughing about it and you know, Roy is just like not having it. He just does not do whatever. But the girl comes back and she refuses to give Nate the window table, even though it's not booked. And she's such a bitch to him. And it's just obnoxious. It's just awful. Mm-hmm. So then you cut to, and this is the first time I've noticed this
To be clear, she's not giving him the window table because that's more for influential people. Because when Nate mentions that he knows Roy Kent, she's like, well, if
does Roy he want it?
The window table, then he gets the window table. So it gets Nate thinking about if he had more influence, he would be able to get this stuff.
Right. But I will point out, this is like a little corner, almost like a pub restaurant. It's a Greek restaurant. And
it's a big-ass restaurant. It's not like the biggest restaurant in the world or whatever. It's not like too fancy. It's just a little restaurant. I don't know why they don't just give it to him, but whatever.
Right. It's ridiculous. And obviously, if it's his parents' restaurant, they've been there many times before. So what the fuck is wrong with this girl? I mean, I find it obnoxious, but whatever.
It's also the manager's fault if she actually did talk to the manager and then be like, oh, we can't give away the window table. It's like, really? Okay.
Yeah, it seems really.
No one ever in the window table, like really.
I get the feeling that she made it up, and that's part of the reason.
Probably, but I don't care all that much. But then we go over to the team watching their what?
No, we go to a very badly green screened match. You can see the match.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Right, but it's the first time I've really noticed like bad green screening on the show, and I was kind of disappointed. I don't think I ever really noticed that before.
I didn't really think about the green screen or anything like that. Just
yeah,
like,
but anyway, they lose
playing soccer in a certain way. But yeah, they're watching they're losing the last game they played, which they lost, and some of the highlights from that weren't good. But
like Thoreau has this ugly miss on a goal and stuff like that. It's just sad.
Did you say Thoreau?
Zero.
Oh, Zorro. Sorry. I was so confused. I thought you said like Thoreau, like Henry. Anyway, then Ted stops and like Isaac is kind of yelling at the team, like play better or something. And Ted mentioned, well, I believe in communism.
Rom-communism.
I was just like, Jesus Christ.
And then every single one of the players talks about like their favorite rom-coms. Like, oh, you need to be like
from the rom-coms. Like, right, like Kate, the three Kates or whatever.
Kate and whatever.
And then yeah. I think Nate on the sideline says, well, what about Kate Winslet? And then Beard's like, not spelled the same. But Ted mentions, even though they have small struggles along the way, they will still end up happy.
And then he starts like segueing from rom communism into a fairy tale thing. He's like, the dark forest is always in the middle of the story. You know, when you have a fairy tale, it's always in the middle of the story. It's like Into the Woods. Have you seen Into the Woods, dude? Can we need to talk about that? You know, like, I
think that's a very different kind of like.
Right. But that's like the whole point of Into the Woods is like being in the woods is like a thing. He's basically, it'll all work out. We all have our job to do, and our job is to let it go. That's been his mantra: be a goldfish, be a goldfish, be a goldfish. But again, you see that he's not. You see in this episode that he's not having an easy time with that. So
well, then he also notices Isaac again being like, "Yeah, just stop playing like shit." And then they go over to the coach's office and he mentions that something's up with Isaac. He's way too tense. And they talk about how Sheffield Wednesday is a team that they're playing on Saturday, and it's this whole confusing thing and it's funny. But then the doctor actually approaches Ted about Isaac and being like, hey, do you think I should just go ahead and talk to him? Do you think
what's whatever? Up with
us? Actually asks. And Ted's like, nah, I know what's wrong. And then she's like, okay, no, you don't.
Well, but this is what his response is. He's a teepee in a wigwam. And she's like, what? He's too tense. She's kind of like,
I didn't write that one down, but I loved it. But then Ted, once the doctor leaves, Beard says something along the lines of, so what is his problem? It's like, oh, I have no idea. But I think what's the solution to it? And he's like, I don't know. But we just need some, like, a big guy to talk to him.
Right.
And Nate volunteers.
One of the things that happens before that is they talk about, like, they can't do too much with Isaac because they can't mess with the space-time continuum. So like they can't go back in time, they can't do, you know, whatever, so they've got to make sure that they don't mess with the space-time continuum. But you're right, Isaac is a big dog. He needs like a big dog to get him in line.
And then Nate volunteers to talk to him and Ted starts laughing, but then he's like, oh, you were being serious. Oh, no, I'll take care of it. I'll get somebody else. And Nate takes that to heart and he feels really, he's upset.
Well, right. This whole episode is the Nate identity crisis episode, basically. It's like Nate realizing like no one's respecting me, even though I've come so far, right? You know, I've done so much.
I think it's a valid thing. I think it's very valid.
It is.
The way he handles it is interesting, but whatever.
Right. But that again, I think is something we're going to talk about probably as the episode, and we talk about this episode some more. So yeah. Keely is walking down the hallway and she hears Rebecca giggling around the corner and she's
handing out Nespresso machines that she got from their sponsor, and she's like, because I'm good at my job. And it's like, people who are good at their job do not have to announce it. And then she's like, well, I still am good at my job. And so she's handing out Nespresso machines to the players and whatever, and Rebecca's giggling and she's like, I didn't know you could giggle. And and Rebecca's basically like, oh yeah, this new guy I met on Banter, he is quoting Rilke to me. And it's just like, he's really deep. And it's like, oh, you have like a hidden poet kind of guy. Ooh, fun. And then
and Keely talks about Banter being, this is where minds come to undress. Ooh, I need to use that.
Yeah, she writes it down. But then Danny comes up and he's like, is it okay if I regift this to somebody else? My mom said I was born caffeinated and my neighbor needs a reason for her son to come visit her.
Right. So sad. She doesn't drink coffee, but her son does. And so she needs one, which is just terribly sweet.
But Nate's not allowed to get a coffee machine because he's not a player.
And right. So again, he's like a no one. He's
undervalued.
Right, he's feeling like no one again. So Higgins is in Rebecca's office and his ringtone comes on. And mm-hmm. Rebecca's like, so your ringtone, who's that? And he's like, it's my wife. And he's like, so your ringtone for your wife is Rainbow by the Rolling Stones. And he's like, yeah, that's our song. And he describes how
it's a great song.
it is a great song. Yeah, honestly, it's a song I've heard for years and years and years. I don't think
I've noticed it's in a lot of like commercials.
It is. I mean, it's one of those things that is such background noise to me because I've heard it for so long. I never think I really listened to the lyrics in like at all. And so I was listening to it in this episode just because, you know, I was listening to it. And it's like, wow, that's kind of cool. But he describes the meaning his wife, because it's the reason it's their song, it was playing when they met. And so he's like, yeah, when we met, I had spiked hair. It's like, and when you look at him, he's just not like somebody who could pull off spiked hair. I saw her and I wanted to impress her. So I started playing air upright bass.
That woman.
Right. And then I got beer dumped on me and my wife, and the person who would become my wife is the only person who mopped it up.
It's so sweet.
So it is very sweet. Upright.
Try that next time, everybody.
But part of what they're talking about is like, he tells Rebecca the best brand, because she's trying to figure out how to brand herself on
Facebook,
is to be yourself.
Rebecca does, and she does that by like, when a mystery guy asks what she wants out of the app, she says, I'm looking for love. And then she throws her phone away and is like, ah.
Yeah, it's like getting naked, right? She really struggles with that level of honesty.
To be clear, the song is She's a Rainbow by the Rolling Stones, not just Rainbow. Yeah. I looked it up just to make sure.
Okay, sorry.
I wanted to add that to my playlist, so I found out.
That was smart of you. I should have done that. I didn't do it, so I should. Okay. So then we've got Nate. Nate looks into Keeley's office.
He's like awkwardly walking by and like looking in and waiting for her to notice. It's so
he
awkward.
Sticks his head in and then he takes it out. That's his MO.
Yeah, and then basically he mentions the situation to Keeley. And that he wants to get into this restaurant and he wants the window table. And then Keila's like, okay. And she brings him up to Rebecca's office and she mentions, all right, Nate wants a table. And so Rebecca's like, okay, I have this fancy place and I know the owner or whatever, I can get you a table easily. And he's just like, oh no, I want it like,
Taste of Athens, or something like that.
And she's just like, you want some in Teuton? It's like, what? What? You don't need me to do that. You just need to have confidence.
Right. And that's part of how Keeley intervenes too, because Rebecca was just like, I'll do it for you.
I'll buy the restaurant.
Right. But you teach a man.
I wrote down this quote. You buy a man a restaurant, he eats one for one night. Teach a man how to get a table, and he gets a table at a restaurant that will become a Starbucks.
I love Keeley. She's great. And
they think Nate just needs to become more assertive.
Right.
And like, not let him be walked all over.
Right. So then they cut to, and this is hilarious, they cut to Roy Kent, and Roy is at a restaurant where his autograph is his kebab place. Yeah. His autograph photograph is like up over the counter. And he's telling the guy behind the counter, is like, you know, either I get these for free or I'm going to have you take my picture down. And he's like, $7.50. It's like, and he's like, oh, that's fair. And so Roy is like going to eat his kebabs, and he turns around, and apparently Keely had told Roy to expect what he calls a mustachioed surprise.
No, no, no. She said, Ted approaches Roy, and Ted was like, I bet you were expecting me or something like that. And because Keely probably told you. And then Roy's like, she told me to expect a mustachioed surprise that would anger me.
Right. Right. And I thought at first it was Wario or my great aunt Natalie. I thought it was Wario. God, I love it.
God, Wario. Jesus Christ. Wario.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, you're coming to my kebab place. My kebab place is like my church.
No, and that comes into play in a minute. But Ted wants Roy to join the coaching staff again. Well, not again, but he wants him to join the coaching staff for Richmond. But he's like, no. And then the waiter guy who comes up and he mentions
restaurant owner.
He mentions that he was going to be a doctor, but it's not what he wanted to do. He's actually more passionate about making kebabs and all that stuff. So he chose to do what made him happy. And then Ted mentions, well, just think about it or whatever. And then he exits the...
They also talk about Isaac and how Isaac's having problems. Roy gets it immediately. He's like, he's all on his head, isn't he? And he needs like help and blah, blah, blah.
Then Ted exits the booth like he would exit a pew at church. It's really funny.
Is that Roy's like, well, let me finish my kebab and pray over.
Yeah, it's funny. And then you go over to Keely, Rebecca, and Nate, who are going through different scenarios to help him gain confidence. Like the hostess getting his name wrong and him being like, oh, actually, oh, I'm sorry, it's Shelly. Oh, no, sorry, sorry. And then he's just like, stop saying sorry. And then she's like, oh, it's Shelfie. And then it's just like, no, I told you. And it's like, all right, too much.
Keely points out, like, you know, or Nate points out that, like, Rebecca is the most commanding person. She's like, you just need to be commanding. It's like, you're the most commanding person in any room you enter. She's like, not when I enter a room with a bunch of other team owners. Yeah. And they're like, and she describes how she does that, how she like makes herself.
It's like she's going in and she's like a schoolgirl with pigtails. And then Keely says, I bet you look fantastic in pigtails. And she's like, I do. It's so funny. And then she shows them how she makes herself feel big. She does like a deep breath in a mirror, and then she just like reaches out and just like, ah.
And she hisses. She hisses like a snake or a cat or something.
Yeah.
And then yeah, she makes herself really big, and Keely's like, oh, she's amazing. And this, they're just like, just don't back down.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Isaac and Ted.
Oh my God, this is so great.
This is so great. So like Isaac, Ted's taking Isaac basically to like wherever Roy told him to meet them, which is not a good neighborhood. Talk about Roy being like, well, he's just mad all the time, like, you know, 24/7, whatever. And Roy walks up to them, he's got his phone
Ted texts him, and then they hear the ding, look, and Roy's just lit up by the light of his phone, and it's just like, bah!
Yeah, and then after lighting, they're like, bah!
It's so funny.
Yeah.
And basically this neighborhood was where he used to live, and this was like the park. He shows them like a court that some people are playing soccer in or football in, and this is where I would go every single day after school, and whenever I had free time I would just play and I would just have a lot of fun. And so Roy tells Isaac, you go in there and you're gonna be on this team. And you're going to
hear the all. I love the way he does it though, because you know, Roy's just so great. He's like, oh, Isaac, these are all the other fucks.
You're on that team.
You're on that
team. You're with them. And then you go over to Nate and his parents, who are going into the restaurant, and they're about to be seated in the corner, and Nate's just like, okay. And then he goes into the bathroom and he tries to make himself feel big, but he can't do it. And so he spits at the mirror and he's like, you're Nate fucking Shelley.
But it's so telling about him that, you know, rather than, that's how he is scary. right? Mm-hmm. Like spitting on something or spitting on himself is how he makes
it, him. That's what makes him feel powerful, having something underneath him.
Right. Right. And you know, it's sort of true in being this big hissing predator, but it's different.
In a way, but I think it just, it's different.
Yeah, it is. It's different. And I think that that difference.
It's another thing to be a menace.
Right. Right. And ooh, so it's difference. That difference is something that, you know, gets brought up later. So yeah, anyway, so Jade, who is the girl at the counter, or the at the stand, he goes after her and he's like, I would really like for you to do this, basically.
You'll be so shocked at how quickly we will be in and out. We're just going to like get this, and this. We're going to get a bottle of wine. We're going to be in and out so quickly, you won't even notice we're there. And I would really appreciate that. And she's like, okay, fine. And so that's all it took. He asked for a number and she's like, no, I'm very picky. And he's like, okay, cool. All right, sorry. Yeah. And then he whistles at his parents really rudely. Yeah.
Okay, and his don't dad's like, not a dog.
No, yeah, I love that his dad was like, I'm not a dog. And he's like, yep, sorry, sir. And then they go over and then they sit at the window table and you can see that his dad has a look of pride on his face and he appreciates that Nate stood up for them and all that stuff. But we'll get into that later.
They cut to Roy and Isaac and Ted. And
I also think the schoolgirl who plays soccer a lot is playing. I think she
right.
is.
And so right. So it's really it's cool. There's a whole lot of there's talent obviously on these teams, and they're much better than Isaac thinks that they're gonna be, because Isaac's like, well, I'm gonna be like so much better than they are, and like he's not, but then he starts to remember that he is really good at the game and it's still a game and and to forget your feelings. And he's like, you know, and Roy's going through, he's like, fuck. And then he's like, turns to Ted, and Ted's looking at him. He's like, were there too many fucks in there?
Well, but also he basically tells Isaac that football is a fucking game. You need to stop overthinking it and just have fun. So go have some fucking fun. And so, yeah, that's when I think he says, was that too many fucks or something? And then I don't know what, I remember what led into this. I think that Ted mentioned something about showgirls and just being lost in the story or something, like watching showgirls or something like that. I forget what it was.
I don't remember that exactly.
But
Isaac proves that he's awesome.
No. That was leading into... Roy saying, I dated Gina Gershwin once, and then Ted, I don't know why, but this, the way he delivered this line really cracks me up, but he says, that makes me happy. I don't know why. You'll have to watch the episode to hear that, the way that he delivers it, but it makes me smile. It's so funny.
Rashawn is beautiful. They finish up and they're walking back. So it's Ted and Roy walking back. And so Ted basically gives Roy he goes through all of these rom-com speeches.
I wrote all of them down.
Met Sally speech, like, you know, when you finally realize that you have the person that you want on your coaching staff, blah, blah, blah,
I wrote all of them down. I wrote, I came here tonight because when you realize that you want to spend the rest of your life coaching with someone, you want that to start ASAP. And I'm like, okay, awesome. When I was writing that down, I was like,
okay. Sally, ding.
And then I'm also a coach standing in front of a boy.
Right. And, you missed like the You Complete Me from Jerry Maguire. Then there's the coach standing in front of a boy. Yeah. There's the Notting Hill speech. And Roy
Was that other one Notting Hill? Yeah. I don't think I've seen that.
It's cute. It's got Hugh Grant. I mean, you know, Hugh Grant. It's a rom-com.
Which one was that one?
Hugh Grant and
No. What speech was that?
That's the boy standing in front of a girl.
Oh, I've heard it, but I've just never known what that was from.
That's cute.
And then
it's not as good as Four Weddings and a Funeral, which, you know, is cuter, I think. It's a better Hugh Grant.
It's still kind of messed up, but sure. And then you go to, and then as Roy's walking away, well, Roy's basically like, shut up, I'm not doing it. And then he walks away. And then as he's leaving, Ted says, as you wish.
Yeah, I know, it's Princess Bride. It's
just like, yeah, killed me. That entire scene just killed me.
Yeah, it's just all the rom-coms. It is so great. And so then the next morning, Ted and Beard are walking, and Beard says something. He refers to something which I don't remember. He's like, "You didn't finish your joke. What does the British owl say?"
Oh, it was that one thing. It was towards the end of last season. He started the British owl's joke, but he never did the punchline.
Oh, okay. I didn't even remember. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom! Boom! Boom!
Yeah, and he's like, worth it. He's like, okay.
Yeah, okay, if you say so, whatever.
I feel like that line could have worked better in like the season premiere, but not like necessarily halfway through this season, but sure. But and then there was a Harry Met Sally moment in the stands at the match where this older couple is sitting there and they just look at the camera and break the fourth wall, and it's just like they mentioned, oh yeah, we met at a Richmond match or whatever, blah 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 blah. And then they mentioned that Titanic stole their story and they're still in litigation.
Right, it's hilarious. But part of what's so funny about it is that they have the whole When Harry Met Sally thing. They've got like the Love Was Made for Me and You song playing in the background, just like, you know, the couple meeting stuff. Yeah. It's so great. Rebecca is
texting the mysterious guy, and then because the guy is asking who she because she mentions that she's watching a football match, and the guy asks, oh, who's your team or whatever, and she's just like, that's too personal, and it's really cute. But then it pans Keely over the next shot. Well, Keely mentions, you should just tell him that you're fucking rich and beautiful and gorgeous and you own the team. But
no, the way she phrases this, stop with the foreplay.
Yeah. And then you see, and then the next shot is Ted texting. So, ooh, drama. Oh,
right.
No.
So, yeah, right. It is deceptive, isn't it? So
it
you
is
start deceptive. Thinking it's
because once I saw that, I started screaming. Well, the first time I saw it, anyway. I was like, oh, God. And then I'll probably mention why later. But then the doctor approaches Ted in the hallway. I don't know why this cracked me up so much, but the doctor approaches Ted and is just like, she says, coach. And then Ted points out all random stuff in the hallway, like door, ceiling, trash can, doctor.
Doctor, yeah.
Just pointing stuff out. This is so funny to me. And then
she says, my door is always open.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do you own a door? We should do something about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, he's deflecting so much. It's really funny. But like, Beard corrects him on a quote or something like that. And then as he's walking by,
what's cool? Pardon me?
What?
I didn't hear you.
Well, I was just mentioning that, like, Nate's wearing a suit.
Oh, no, let me back up a little bit, because one of the things, and the doctor is observing this, right? So Ted, like, Beard comes by, he corrects him on something, and Ted talks about, like, oh, he's the smartest guy, and he knows all this, like, trivia, blah, 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 isn't he super smart? And then Nate comes by, and he's wearing his suit, and Ted, like, you know, talks up Nate, and, you know, all these things, and she's just watching. She's like, and she's noticing that he talks up everyone else, but no one does it for him. Well, he doesn't talk about himself, but he also, no one does it for him.
Yeah.
And again, that's one of those things that wears, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the cracks that you're going to see splitting up and later. So we cut to the pundits, and you know how much I love Roy Kent, and this whole sequence.
If you're doing a drinking game for this, you'll be fucked by the time that we like it, by the if
get through all the fucks,
or like how many times we say we love Roy.
Yeah,
oh, you'll be fucked by the end of the first episode. But like,
yeah. I love Roy. So the pundits are talking about like, oh, what's this 17-year-old from Ireland gonna do in this match today? You know, he's just come up, and he's, you know, what? How do you think he's gonna go? And like, there's speculation. And they turn to Roy. He's like, Roy, what do you think he's going to do? He's like, I don't fucking know. I don't know. And it's like, none of us knows. We guess what they're going to do and complain when they don't do it. Right. We guess And then we complain when they don't do it the way we predicted they were going to do it. And then you're just on the outside judging.
Yeah. And then you see Richmond having fun stretching because Isaac is hyping them up and them like doing all this fun stuff. And Roy sees it and he's so proud. And it's a really nice moment because you can even tell that he's getting choked up by it a little bit because right. he knows how much.
They're like, I wonder what got into him. And Roy's like, I know.
Yeah. And then one of the pundits says, don't you miss that, Roy? And he's just like, yeah, I do. And then he like takes off his mic and whatever. And as he's about to leave, I guess this guy, Jeff, is like, wait, Roy, where are you going? What are you doing? And he dramatically turns. It's like, Jeff, I have to go. I don't know what that's from, though. I forget.
I don't know. I've got to try to like.
I was gonna look it up. I was like, that's a very generic line that I just like.
Yeah, it is. But find it. Then you start hearing Rainbow or She's a Rainbow playing.
Yeah, and then he starts running in the snow, getting a cab, and then
when Harry met Sally,
that's from a lot of stuff.
The way this plays out is a very
well. Winning. This part, yeah, that, it plays out in a certain way. But like, I think that like it's almost like a go to the airport scene, but it's go to the stadium scene instead. But he gets in the cab, and the cab driver is like, "Oh, I'm going home right now. It's me and my wife's anniversary or something."
I found the line. I googled it. So I have to, Jeff, I have to go now. It's a line Meg Ryan uses to leave her fiance at the climax of the movie.
In Seattle?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen it, but I know Meg Ryan and Tom
Hanks. It's cute. Again, it's cute. So yeah, it is not my favorite, but it's cute. So there you go.
I've never seen it, but I know Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan are in it, but that's all. Anyway, then he gets in the cab. The cab driver is trying to figure out what to get his wife for either Valentine's Day or her birthday or their anniversary or something.
Anniversary.
And Roy's like, okay, here's some cash, whatever. And he's like, all right, fine, I'll take you.
She likes cash.
Yeah. And then Roy, once he gets out of the cab, like they're stopped at like a certain street because of the match. And so Roy gets out of the car and he just like gives him some random like advice.
You gotta date your wife.
Yeah, that. And then he starts running again, but he hurts his knee.
And says, fuck, really loudly.
And then he gets into a bike cab and he's like, I'll give
you rainbow decorated.
Yes, I'll give you this watch if you can get me there in less than 10 minutes or whatever. So he does. And then he gets stopped from going in because the people don't recognize him. He's just like, they're like, wait, who are people? It's like, oh, you can't come in without a ticket. And he's like, I'm Roy Kent. It's like, you kind of look like him. But and it's like, oh my God. And he goes to the box office and he's like, I know that there is a ticket reserved for Reba McEntire.
Yeah,
I just like randomly was like, if Reba ever shows up, I'm going to have a seat for her.
But right. So then he comes in, and I love this because he comes in and like before he really walks onto the pitch, he snaps his knee into place.
Well, no, before that, there's a kid who's at the next to the box office, and he's kind of looking at him in wonder, and then. He gurs at him, and then he goes, and then he gives the ticket to those people, and the people were like, enjoy the game, and he's like, fuck you.
And he's right.
Like, it is him,
right. So
and then we go to that moment.
He snaps his knee into place, and it's interesting because up until that point, like a lot of the things on the pitch had been blurry, and then everything comes into focus, and then you start hearing the chant. Roy Kent, he's here, he's there, he's every fucking where. And Keely is just like thrilled that he's there. Like she had no idea he was going to actually do that because of course he didn't. And he walks onto the pitch and he turns to Ted and he's like, you had me at coach.
No, but it's even better because Ted looks at him and he's just like, hello, coach, really excited. And he says, shut up, just shut up. You had me at coach. And then Beard gasps.
Right. But Nate is pissed.
He feels very threatened.
He feels very, very threatened. Like there's not room for both of them. And it's really fascinating just see how that dynamic is going to play out. So what was your favorite part of this episode?
the movie references Roy and Isaac. I really liked how they tried to get Isaac to understand that it is a game and he should enjoy it because that's what he does and he's passionate about it. He needed to refuel that passion and stop overthinking things. And I think that's a very powerful message that I think a lot of people do need to hear sometimes. And Roy, just because I love that he has the realization that he wants to do what he wants to do. And so he does it. And then, yeah, again, I love the Ruby references.
I mean, there's so many of them in this one. And I think that that's really great. Well, I did not know this. So I Googled the Ted Lasso reference. Roy Kent delivers life lessons. It's "You Gotta Date Your Wife" is actually a Motley Crue song. So there we go.
Okay.
I thought it might be another movie that I had not necessarily identified, but there we are. So yeah, that I loved a lot of things about this movie, but the movie references, about this episode, but the movie references were really it for me. And of course, who doesn't love a rom-com? So there we go. Yeah, loved it. So what about your worst part?
Okay, you go first because I have a lot to say.
Oh, you have a lot of worst parts with this? Wow.
Not necessarily, but it's complex.
Okay, so my worst part with this is that Nate needs to put others down rather than just recognize that he's bigger, if that makes any sense. But you know, like I think that's one of those real life issues though, is that for one person to get bigger, other people feel like they're diminished. And so that's kind of a hard life issue. And I want better from Nate, but I don't know that that's the purpose of his character.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically my worst part.
Yeah, okay. Well, mine is similar in that I do agree. I think that the way that he is, the way he's trying to make himself feel bigger is by putting people down, which is not necessarily the goal necessarily. But I think I put Nate mostly in my notes, like in parentheses mostly, but like I can absolutely understand how he feels. Like he feels underappreciated. He feels like he's not getting the recognition he deserves. I wish that the reason for this change in him was not a fucking table at a restaurant, because that was so stupid.
Like, it's petty, like, and small, right?
Like that, but also it's like, why do you even want the fucking window table? I don't want the window table. I don't want people fucking looking at me while I'm eating. Like, just leave me alone. Like, I don't want people like walking by and just seeing me eat. Like, I don't.
Well, there are elements of petty prestige that are important to Nate. That,
well, yeah,
I think, you know, that's like, it's like nouveau riche people, you know, when you hear about that, it's like, you know, people who are like so into having the brand or having whatever. And I think you see some of that in the Nate character, and it is sad.
Yeah, I think that being the reason is kind of stupid to me. I feel like it should be something a little bit petty. I think that does make sense, but I don't like the fact that it's like, oh, don't put Nate in a corner kind of thing. I think that's probably the point of it, to have that movie reference, but they don't even use it. Like, they don't use that line, which kind of pisses me off, because that was a perfect opportunity to use it. But I really don't
see no dirty dancing in this. Sorry.
Yeah. And I don't see the point in like having it be like, oh, you're giving us a corner table at a restaurant. You still got a fucking table. If the problem was he couldn't get a table at all, that's one thing. But the fact that he wanted a specific table that just wasn't given to him because of prestige things, like, it's like, that's, I don't know. I felt like that was really weird. And him whistling at his parents really pissed me off. I don't think that no one should be called or that way, unless it's like in a large crowd and it's your child, maybe.
Yeah, your daddy does whistle.
Like a Captain Von Trapp thing in Sound of Music, don't whistle for your kids. So it's just like, I think the change in him, it makes sense that there was going to be a change in him at some point where he wanted to feel like he was valued. But I think that him being denied certain petty things, I feel like that's kind
of weird. That shouldn't be the catalyst.
Maybe. Yeah, I kind of wish that he had a different catalyst for it. And
you know, I think that the truth is in life, and it's kind of like
the little things that add up. Yeah, I know. It's just like,
it's like the little petty shit that happens in a relationship where you know, just that moment that make it, for whatever reason, brings clarity. Like when Rebecca was talking about the John guy, like she's sitting at this table with him and just realizes I deserve better.
Yeah. You know? And I think that the thing is like, again, this was bound to happen for Nate. And I think that especially like Roy coming in and becoming a part of the coaching staff is definitely going to light a fire under him to a certain extent. But I don't love the way that he is approaching this. Like, and he's gonna get worse, and it's really sad because I liked Nate, and I think, and there's this one moment that I remembered when watching this episode that happens like towards the very end of the season that I'm just like, oh god, I'm dreading it. Yeah, and I'll mention it to you off the podcast so it's not a big spoiler, but I think that this was bound to happen. I like the idea behind it. I like the idea that Nate is changing with the new power he's given. I'm interested to see what's going to go on next season with all this, all the changes that end up happening. But I think I really wish there was a different catalyst because it's a right. table at a restaurant. I don't like, it's not even a very fancy restaurant, and it's for his parents' anniversary, but it's just like, the parents don't really seem to care all that much either. So I don't really know. It's not like his parents are disappointed in him because he couldn't get them the window table. They don't care. They were happy to just like sit in the corner table and just enjoy their anniversary. But I mean, there was a proud look on his father's face when he like got the window table, but it's just like, does it really matter? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and because those other characters are not developed and that relationship is not developed, you don't really know. It's like that brief window we got with Jamie and his dad. You hear these references about it, but you don't really have a sense of like, you know, his parents having done anything like awful to him or anything like that. And that, you know, there are a couple of little references, but it's just not. You don't get the sense that this was something that his parents expected of him. I don't know. I agree with you. I think that there is a lot of truth in like the pettiness, but I think the thing about Nate is that he was the underdog and we were rooting for him and we wanted him to, you know, like have this success. And I think that was, you know, true in everything. And then he has it, that he doesn't know how to hold on to it. He doesn't know how to maintain it. And it's just sad to watch, I guess. And I think, you know, again, it goes to the strength or weakness of his character, right? Anyway, so we will be exploring
that. Overall, we didn't do an overall.
My overall for this, I'd probably give it an A-.
I gave it an A-, too.
Yeah, I'd probably give this an A-. There's a lot of really good in this episode, but it didn't have as much weakness as, or, you know, or as much strength as, say, like the Christmas episode that I love for like really no reason but love it. So there anyway,
are reasons. There are reasons.
Yeah, but there are reasons. But in any case, that's where that fell for me. Did you have any special reason for A-, or
nope, not at all.
Nope. All right. Well, we will be coming back and we will be talking about episode 6, The Signal, which is, again, it's a good signal, I think. But
they think it is a signal.
It's a sign. There are signs. Yeah. So we'll be coming back for season 2, episode 6, The Signal. And we hope that you join us. And
cheers.